Right, we are in session number three of the Tabernacle. And if you have your handout there, which I hope I have mine. Yes, I do. That's good. Well, I thought I had mine there. Oh, there it is. It's hiding from me. Get all squared away here. So, the very small picture up in the left-hand side of your handout is the tabernacle, the outline of the tabernacle. And basically, it's very simple. It's very straightforward. And it's not like you would go to some place and have no clue how to get from one place to another. It's very straightforward. So I want to start tonight, before we actually get into the sections of it, because we're going to be talking about the labor of cleansing. I'll get it out in just a moment. It'll sound like but that's all, folks. But the picture here, if you look at the tabernacle, at the very front of it, where the gate is, and the gate is right in front of the altar. When you think about the gate, we are reminded again that there's only one way. Only one way in, only one way out. And Jesus said, "I am the gate." In John chapter 10, verse 9, he says, "I'm the gate. There's only one way to get in, and I am it." He said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one's going to get to the Father except through me." Okay? So Jesus is the gate. And when you think of that picture, the people not knowing the Messiah yet, but yet that he was to come, still knew that that was the only way in to get into the presence of God. You couldn't climb under, you couldn't climb over, you had to go through the gate. One reason you had to go through the gate was immediately you're faced with the altar. God did that for a reason, right? God does everything for a reason, right? This means yes, this means no, this means I fell asleep. Okay. All right. So, Jesus says, "I'm the way." Now, it's interesting how many different times Jesus used this correlation as he was speaking to people, and yet they didn't get it yet. They didn't quite grasp it yet. You remember the time when he was saying, there's a narrow road and there's very few people that find it. But broad is the road that leads to destruction and many go that way. I find that interesting because when you look at the tabernacle and what we're going to talk about tonight, and when you look at how God laid out a simple, straightforward diagram, you think of how many people think, "Well, God, isn't there another way? Can I just be good enough? Can I just do all, check off all the boxes and keep your rules and isn't there another way?" Jesus said, "No, there's no other way. This is the way." And the reason this is the way is because, first of all, God said that. Second of all, the only way you can get into the presence of God is through Jesus. Hebrews calls him our great high priest. Now, the Israelites would understand the concept of high priest after dealing with the tabernacle for years and years and years, and then the temple later on. They would understand the concept of a high priest. He's the one who would go in for you and basically plead your case with the blood of a precious lamb. Okay, so the gate, very important. As soon as you go in the gate, there's the altar, the place of sacrifice. Now, I don't know if y'all are getting this yet, but God is basically just laying out the gospel. See, you got to come to Jesus. You can't go. You can't find eternal life by going to church. You can't find eternal life by reading the Bible. You can't find eternal life in any other way except Jesus. Because nobody else was able to pay the price for your sin except Jesus. But people are still confused by that. How is that possible? Because Satan is cunning. And he's deceitful. And he's trying to make everybody think, oh, just be as good as you can. You know, everybody's going to mess up. It's no big deal, you know. If you do more good things than bad, you're going to be all right. No, you're not. In fact, Titus says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saves us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, which all fit into this pattern, by the way, just a little bit. Okay, so, gate, sacrifice. Jesus says, you got to come through my sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. The very next thing past that, and I circled it on there, it makes it look like that's a bullseye, but actually it's the laver of cleansing, and I circled it to put it over towards what the picture of the laver looked like. Okay? The laver of cleansing. Although there were no specific dimensions given to it like they were to the altar, it was certainly large enough to stand out in size and importance. In other words, somebody's not going to walk right by and not know it's there. It was really large. And it was the place that after sacrifice was made by the priest, that they would cleanse themselves. They would wash the blood off their hands. They would cleanse themselves there. So there's three parts to the labor, by the way. It's interesting, there's three parts to this. There were three parts to the altar. There's significant things come in threes. The base, which was made out of brass mirrors, the pedestal stand, and then the basin, which was, again, just like the altar, made of acacia wood and covered in brass. So this picture is that there you go through the gate, Jesus, there's the sacrifice, and then there's cleansing. You see something coming along here? All right. The position is it stands between the altar and the holy place. Okay? So the holy place is the larger section in front of that rectangle on the top. That's called the holy place. And then the very top part is called the Holy of Holies. All right? But the holy place is where the priests did their thing, so to speak. And we'll be looking at that next week. But it's really interesting how that fits in with salvation and the picture that God is drawing right here. But I'm not gonna get there yet, all right? But it stands between the altar and the holy place. In other words, to be in the place where you want to be, you got to be clean. Right? They wouldn't go walking into the holy place with junk on their hands. And in fact, the scripture says in Exodus chapter 30, says that they would wash their hands and their feet thoroughly. Why their feet? Because they've been stepping on the place where everything else was fallen as well. Correct? So they needed to be clean. They needed to be cleansed. It was between the altar and the holy place. It was after the altar and before the holy place. In other words, positioning is important to understand this. Now, Jesus says, I'm the gate. And as you come in, you want to be in God's presence. I'm the way you get there. I'm the gate. And you also get there because I laid down my life for you. I became the sacrifice. Now, is it good enough to know that Jesus died for you? Huh? No. Huh? Satan knows that. That's right. It's not good enough to know that. You still have to be cleansed. Well, how does that happen? Well, the Bible tells us in John, 1 John 1:9, if I'll confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and what? Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So, I go through Jesus. I recognize that he paid the price for me. And I confess that I'm a sinner so that I can be clean. Pictures of salvation all along the way. Once salvation happens, you get to dwell in the holy place. And we're going to be looking at that next week, and there's some really cool stuff about it. But just, God was basically doing what I did when my kids were really little. Sitting down with them and drawing little pictures. Why? Because they needed that. They needed to understand what a flower looked like. And they needed to understand what, and I'm not a great artist, you know. I draw flies better than I draw pictures, but I just, you know, I did the best I could. But I enjoyed coloring with them and drawing things. And, you know, God is simply saying to his people, I'm drawing you a picture here. I'm drawing you a picture. If you want to come, ultimately, we're going to get there to the holy place, the holy of holies, the holiest place ever, which, by the way, is also through the gate that's made in the veil. Jesus himself, who becomes our great high priest, to get there, you got to go this way. You can't go any other way. You can't sneak in the edge of the gate and slide around the edge over here and come in the back. It doesn't work that way. God says, this is the way you go. So here's the purpose for this labor of cleansing to be between the altar and the holy place. A place for the priest to, of course, wash after sacrifice. Why? Because they must be clean to enter the holy place. Why do we have to be clean to enter God's place? Because this place is clean. Right? It's perfect. To enter into God's presence, you also have to be perfect. And you might say, oh, I blew it there. Hey, it's not up to you. It's up to the work of Christ in you. And if you've confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you've confessed your sins, the Bible says you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. Now, all means all, and that means I've been made righteous, and that means I've been made perfect in God's sight. Even though from my perspective I see that I'm not, from God's perspective he sees that I am, because he sees me through what Christ has done. But they must be clean to enter the holy place. So what they're doing every time they're washing in this labor is they're showing the people the significance of being clean. And so they did the cleansing of the hands and the feet. And that was always a picture, by the way. You remember that night before Jesus was arrested, he was going to have communion, Passover meal, the Lord's Supper. But before he did that, what did he do? He came in and he sat down and he started washing their feet. And Peter goes, man, you're not washing my feet. He says, hey, if I don't wash you, you're not part of me. You're not part of me. See, God needs us, he needs us to understand to be in the presence of God, we're going to have to be clean, perfect. And so he starts drawing this picture early on, over and over again. Every time they would come by the tabernacle and see the tabernacle, they would see this picture of the gate, and they would see the picture of the altar, and they would see the picture of the laver of cleansing. And so the picture here is not only were they physically getting clean, but they were spiritually being clean, washing by the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, I think I put it up there, yeah. It says this, to make her holy, talking about the church, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Now, you remember Jesus made a little reference to that back in John chapter 7 about talking about living water. See, there's a difference between stagnant water and living water. And the people understood that. You don't want to drink stagnant water. You want to drink living water. Right? Okay? And so Jesus says, but when you come to me, I will fill you with living water that's going to overflow out of you. It's going to continue to come out of you. Now, I know all of us at some time have probably gone kind of stagnant from time to time. We've kind of put our finger in the dike of the spiritual water that ought to be flowing out of us, but it's still there. And God wants you to let that flow, and He wants you to understand that His cleansing is allowing you to be used by Him, washing you by the Word, washing clean at the cross, but daily by the Word. See, I was washed clean at the cross of Jesus when I confessed my sin. And the laver was the place that happened. I was washed clean, but I need to continue to be washed. Not that I'm not perfect in God's sight already, but from my perspective, I understand I'm not. And so God says to us, we ought to confess our sins. He even says we ought to confess our sins one to another and pray for each other. Right? So there is a purpose in our confession. And the purpose is to stay clean. I mean, it's not good to come into the presence of God when you're not clean, right? Confession brings the cleanliness that we need to have. I remember when I was going to school at Baylor. That's a little bitty school down in Texas in Waco. But anyway, when I was going to school there, we had this deal once a year out on the far end of the campus. There was these fields that it rains a lot in Waco, by the way. And even when it's not raining, it's wet. It's just, it stays humid all the time. And these fields would get super, super, super muddy. And so we had this thing every year where all of the clubs and all the organizations would get together and put teams together, and we would play mud football, and we'd play mud volleyball, and we'd play mud everything. I mean, you could not get out there and not get absolutely covered in mud. And I remember after I played that year, I was so muddy and dirty that the clothes I was wearing, I knew I could never get them clean again. There was just no way. I didn't know what I was going to do. I went back to my apartment and asked one of my buddies to throw me a towel out the door. I wrapped myself in the towel, took my clothes off underneath, and left them in a clump there later to put them in a trash bag and throw them in the dumpster because they were so bad. But I remember I was so dirty. And after a while, you know, you start drying out and that mud starts drying on you and in your hair, like, well, Marcus, you wouldn't know that, but in your beard, yeah. See, it starts drying on you. It's just like horrible. And so I remember when I got in the shower, it took me a while to get all that stuff out, but it felt so good when I was clean again. So good. God wants us to understand that if we'll just confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. There is so much good in cleansing. To just let God's Word speak to you, as it does every time we open God's Word, if you'll listen, He's trying to cleanse you with His Word. He's trying to let it flow over you. And sometimes I need to be cleansed. I just need Him to wash over me with His Word. And so I start remembering the encouragement that I get out of His Word. When He tells me that I can fly with wings as eagles, when He tells me I can run and not grow weary, when He tells me that He'll never leave me or forsake me, when He tells me that I am precious to Him, everything that I think about in His Word just continues to remind me, and He cleanses me and cleans me up. We need that. And so there's a picture washing clean at the cross, ultimately, eternally, but daily by His Word. And we're kept clean by His grace. You know, it's amazing that I don't think about God's grace enough. I didn't deserve any of this. You didn't deserve any of this. But His grace was so amazing that He was willing to say to anyone, if you will come to me, if you'll just come to me and confess your sin and be cleansed, I'll make you whole. I'll make you perfect. His grace is amazing. And we are made holy through the Word. In fact, John 17:17 says it like this. Sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. Okay, so we enter through Jesus, the gate. All right? Then there's the sacrifice. Then we come to the laver of cleansing. The cleansing's the picture of sanctification. Now you might say, well, what is sanctification? Does that make you a saint? Well, you become a saint when Jesus forgives you. Sanctification means purification, being set apart, being usable. And that's the process of cleansing. So if you want to be sanctified, be not, you know, not holier than thou kind of person, but if you want to be usable, then you got to get clean. And as soon as you confess, God says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. And I've told you before, it's like that plate you pick up at the buffet. You don't want it to be dirty because they don't want to use it. I don't want to use it. Do you? I want a clean plate. He wants a clean person. Why? Because if we're dirty, He can't use us. Because He can't have a part in that. So the picture is, I'm made holy through His Word. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart through His Word. So think about these things. What's the labor's purpose? What would you say it is? Cleansing, sanctification. What's the significance of the location between the altar and the holy place? Can't get into the holy place without being clean, right? Somebody open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10 and read verse 22 for me. I didn't put it up there on purpose. Hebrews. Okay. If we want to draw near to God, we've got to be washed. We've got to be clean. The implication of the labor for us today is we already know Jesus. Most of us in here, I hope, know Jesus. We already know Him. We've already trusted Him, the sacrifice that He made on the cross. But He wants us to be usable. And so for us to be usable, we need to draw near to Him and be cleansed by Him on a regular basis, you know, confessing. What happens if we ignore the important aspect, this important aspect of our Christian life? He doesn't use us. He doesn't use us. He wants to, but He won't. And so this is the picture here of sanctification. God wants to use all of us. And I think one of the reasons that the church has been so, what's the word I'm looking for? Just weak. Lukewarm would be a good one, as Revelation chapter 3 talks about. The reason it has is because we're not willing to do that. Now, what would keep us from saying to God, I'm wrong. I did this. I'm wrong. What would keep us from doing that? Pride. Pride gets in the way. Or maybe we just don't like dealing with stuff. You ever known people, they don't want to deal with anything. You deal with it. I'm not dealing with it. No, I didn't do it. You did it. You deal with it. Right? God wants all of us to deal with our sin and call sin, sin. And by the way, I don't have any absolute positive scripture that says this, but I don't think it's good enough for you to say, God, forgive me of all my sins. What does that mean? What are all your sins? I'm just sure God could probably just sit there and go, what are you talking about? What sins? Oh, you mean I need to confess the specific sin? I think so. So you'll know what you're talking about. I mean, it's like praying for all the missionaries in the world. God wants to know that we're being very serious about what we're doing. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Who wants to read that one? Yes, sir. Okay, who's that talking about? Husbands and wives? The bride and the bridegroom. But he's given us a picture, husbands, as well, that we ought to be spiritually leaders for our families by leading them in the Word. But he's picturing Jesus as we know he's the bridegroom, and he's going to come for his bride. He's going to come for his church. Are we going to be clean? Are we going to be usable? That's why we got to be in the Word. That's why we cannot put that off. And yet so many people have put that off. There have been periods in my life when I thought, man, I'm just too busy today to spend time in your Word, Lord. I'm just too busy. Do you know what my schedule is? Like I'm asking God if he doesn't know something? If you're too busy to spend time in God's Word, you're too busy. I mean, you want to be clean and usable? Or do you want to be a piece of dead skin hanging out here on the body of Christ? You know? God wants us to understand how important it is to be clean. And so here it is. God's drawing this picture. Only one way in, through the gate. And through the gate leads us straight to the altar where Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. If you're going to receive that, then you've got to come clean. So next week, we get to go into the holy place. All right? Yes, ma'am.